future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at La Berge in Lake Charles. Joe George, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith here with you this Sunday morning from 10 to noon, hanging out on Twitch, on YouTube. We're not there, you can't see us, but we're there. So if you want to hang out in the chatter or shoot us a text at 713-780-3776, we'll talk Texans kind of a little bit today. We'll talk NFL, we'll rip it up at the end of the show, all of our bad tickets. We'll have to do that today. Our newest tradition.
We got plenty of those.
Yeah, we got
plenty of those.
Yeah, we got plenty of tickets to rip up in this one because it was a tough one to be honest for us, for some of us. I got a big hit last night at the very end of the night, so that was nice at least. But we'll start off with the Texans today. So, and kind of big picture within the NFL, like, since they're not playing today, it's so strange that they're not playing today. Still, like, I'm not calibrated for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
It's, like, the only thing that, like, it's, what are we supposed to talk about tomorrow? Another day of preview? I feel like it's just, like, Monday's Reaction Monday.
Yeah.
And it's not.
I feel like we've been talking about this game for so long.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I feel like we've been talking about this game for, like, 2 weeks. Imagine if you had, like, a Monday Night Football game after a bye. That'd be tough. But where do we see the Texans right now, big picture, and NFL? Super Bowl contenders. So right now, like, the top is obviously the Kansas City Chiefs are number one. They're undefeated. Who's the number two team for you guys in terms of Super Bowl contenders? Is it because the Chiefs are in the AFC? Do you look to an NFC team? Do you look at Buffalo or Baltimore? Like, who's, like, your next team right now in terms of, like, who you would pick to win the Super Bowl after the Chiefs? Unless you don't have the Chiefs number one.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs kind of have to be number one, or if you're not counting the Chargers, they have to be number one just because they've done it before. They're undefeated. So they have a lot going for them in that way. But if we're just talking about who's, like, actually played the best or played the most impressive, it is the team that they're playing today. It is the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens, at least in the AFC. In the AFC, I think it's those three. And if you don't want to just give it to the Chiefs based on the 2022 and the 2023 season and the 2019 season and every other season, if you don't want to give it based off that, I think you have to look at what Buffalo's doing, especially as of late. Now, they are just crushing, like, bad teams, so they, you know, the strength of schedule isn't quite what you want, but you see it a lot where good teams do just, like, blow out bad teams, and that's what they're doing.
100%.
Teams that are average, they don't blow out those teams. They get into a
Texans.
Yeah, they get into a 3-point, 7-point game with a team they have no business being in that game with. So I think I would go with Buffalo right now, especially with how Josh Allen has been playing and just taking care of the ball a little bit more, or actually way more than in the past, but just at the kind of right level, I feel like.
Yeah, so Buffalo and then Baltimore, I'm assuming, is your next team?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So, Cam, from, like, your perspective, do you agree with that top three?
I do, but
for the AFC, because, like, I'd probably put the Lions second.
You almost, like, have to, because, yeah, like, it's just an NFC team.
Yeah, just theoretically, like, the top three teams in the AFC, they can't all make the AFC championship game.
Yeah.
So one
of
them, by definition, is gonna be less of a contender than the Lions.
I mean, the thing is, I agree with all those three, but
different order.
Not even that. It's just like I need to see more from Buffalo and Baltimore in the playoffs. Like every year, they have a really good in-season record and make the playoffs, and then they poop the bed.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, okay, sure, going into the playoffs, I'm going to obviously pick Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens as the top three, but it's just like, do I have any faith in those other two, Buffalo and Baltimore?
To actually get
Not
it done.
Not really. Yeah. Like, I need to see more from them. And I hate that the Chiefs are just still there every year, but until they give me a reason to not believe in them, then I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs, which sucks for
me. Yeah. No, I do think that, like, this is the year where, with the way Buffalo and Baltimore are playing and the way Detroit's playing, it does feel the last 3 years this is, like, the best chance because even in last year, like, it felt like it was the Chiefs and the 49ers. This year, it feels totally different. And, you know, the Lions get a little bit – they get the – for them, they should be number two also, like, when you think about what Cam said, like, the playoff success. They won two playoff games last year. They won their first one versus the Rams by a point. They won the next week versus Tampa by 8. And then they only lost by a field goal to the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And then they're better this year. But I think we are probably also a little inherently biased after seeing Goff throw 5 picks last week. Like, yeah. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around that being, like, the number two team.
Yeah.
When, like, that's what your quarterback can do. Like, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud. Like, they would never do that. Like, they'll throw bad picks. Like, we saw C.J. throw awful picks in that game.
Yeah.
But, like,
they're not going to give you...
they're not going to give you 4 or 5.
Yeah. And a drop by Stingley. Could have been 6.
But yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about how, you know, you trust the Bills. At least, like, this year, they've been more impressive than Chiefs. Literally, as we're talking, Sunday NFL Countdown has just been playing all of the playoff and regular season matchups between the Chiefs and Bills. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are definitely going to win this. Like, they're showing the 13-second comeback. I was like, no one's beating this team. So, yeah, I get why the Chiefs get that kind of respect, that kind of inherent, like, sim to Super Bowl with them, but I do think it is this year is the closest I feel like it's been of on the field how they're playing.
Yeah, I just think Baltimore and Buffalo, like, and what I think was important about Buffalo is that they've played this well, but Amari Cooper's been hurt.
Yeah,
since they got him, like, he hasn't really
played what 2 games.
Yeah, and I think he's back tonight. He's back in today's game. I think he's playing. So, like, even then, it's like, well, at least, like, and they're getting him back. So, like, what can they do? I think what they, the last year, the OC change, and this goes back to the Texans, like, the OC change, like, it worked so well for them. I think that's the biggest reason why people have an argument that Bobby Slowick should be fired, because it's just worked so well for Buffalo, just fundamentally changing what they did, just the process of it with the same exact roster they had last year. And this year they lose Diggs. They replace him now with Amari Cooper. But, like, you're seeing, like, Khalil Shakir and these guys step up in a huge way. Where do you guys think the Texans are right now in terms of odds at ESPN Bet? Like, I think they're first Super Bowl.
They were.
I think they're the. What team do you think they
are? Seven. Final answer.
For AFC and NFC, obviously?
Yeah, yeah. Total Super Bowl odds.
I'm going to go 8th now.
They are 8th.
Ah!
So right now
it's sniped.
So right now it's Chiefs plus 375, Lions plus 425 are the top two, mm-hmm. Baltimore's plus 550, Buffalo plus 750. The Eagles, who the way they're playing, I feel like we have to start putting them back in this conversation.
Yes.
They're playing so well. They're at plus 850. The Niners plus 1,000. And then there's a jump, a big jump.
Oh, really?
The next two teams, Sean, technically you're right as well, because the Texans are technically 7th. They're tied for 7th.
There we go.
So... Well, they're just the 8th team on the list. So
it's alphabetical.
So when I was just counting, I had them at 8, but then I look at the odds here again, and I'm like, wait, they're tied.
Okay.
The Packers and the Texans are plus 2,200. They're the next two teams. So clearly, like, ESPN Bet, and, like, my guess is this is wherever you were shopping at a book, like, they're going to be pretty similar. Like, there's 7 teams who are clearly at the top, and then there's a huge jump. I mean, the Vikings are plus 2,500. The Steelers are plus 2,500. So they're essentially saying, like, the Texans and the Steelers are on the same level, which I would probably agree with, honestly.
Are we surprised that the Niners are in there too? I'm a little surprised.
I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, that feels like one for me where, like, the books are protecting themselves. I think we'll have to ask Matt about that when he comes on with us at 11, because it just feels like to me like they're protecting themselves in case, like, now that with McCaffrey back, if they really just, like, get rolling and like, you don't want to have them plus 2,000 and all of a sudden they look like the best team in the NFC again, very clearly. Like, they would get crushed.
Yeah, yeah. That is fair. With McCaffrey coming back and what he can do for that offense if he is healthy and stays healthy, which it is a question. I think part of the game last week against Tampa, I think you could see, like, in the course of the game, him knocking off the rust a little bit, where he started off looking pretty like it's his first game playing, like maybe he doesn't fully trust his legs. And then he kind of got his legs underneath him and did all right. So, yeah, I guess if you take into account McCaffrey and you're just penciling him in for the rest of the season, and like you said, protecting yourself, I get it like that. But as far as like how they've actually played, like the Texans are definitely going to win their division. I don't know if the Niners are going to win their division.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, yeah. So the Texans are plus 1,200 to win the AFC itself. So, I mean, they've got it down pretty far. We're curious what the AFC South odds are here. You know, it's so funny. Plus 2,200 to win the Super Bowl for the Texans. Minus 2,000 to win the AFC South.
That tells you everything you need to know about the AFC South.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I didn't think it was going to be that drastic when I hit that. Like, hell, I'm almost tempted to put $10 on the Colts plus 1,400. Like,
the AFC South is the only division where all four teams are negative in the point differential.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's why, bad.
And that's why people don't take the Texans seriously. They're the only playoff team right now with a negative point differential. So, I mean, it's just, it's hard to think of them as a real contender. When you're a minus 3,000 to make the playoffs, a minus 2,000 to win your division, but then you're plus 2,200 to win the Super Bowl, it's just you're not a Super Bowl contender.
No.
You're just not yet. Is there any chance and when we get back, we'll talk about the injury updates for the Texans. They've officially ruled out one of their best players and officially getting back one of their best players. And the Cowboys had a little bit of a surprise added to the injury report for Monday Night Football. It won't affect them, it doesn't look like, but it's something to keep an eye on. We'll get into that next here. It is the Bullpen, broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. The Bullpen, live from LaBerge Casino Resort, continues. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios with Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Joe, Sean, and Cam broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. All right, let's get you updated here on what's going on for the Houston Texans for Monday Night Football. Guys officially out this week. Foley, Fatukasi will be out. Blake Fisher will be out. Not that one matters. Also, Will Anderson, out. Officially, for Monday Night Football. Texans announced that yesterday. Everyone else is playing. The only questionables right now, besides that, Kamar Lasser did practice. He was limited on Saturday, so he's listed as questionable for Monday Night Football. So, it is possible. I guess he clears concussion protocol in 8 days and is back for the game. Jeff Okuda, also questionable. But he was a full participant on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so that kind of feels like...
So he's just questionable in general?
I guess so.
Is that what...
Yeah, like,
hasn't he been out all year?
Yeah, he hasn't played yet.
Okay, well...
Questionable.
So I guess he's... Yeah, well, I don't know.
Questionable play, too.
It's questionable if he starts. Yeah. I have some questions.
But so hopefully Kamar Lasseter is out there. That's definitely, I mean, it just makes it so much easier for your defense. He's out there. But you're missing Foley. You're missing Will Anderson. But they did say no designation for Nico Collins, meaning he is officially back for the Houston Texans in this game. I know you guys kind of hit on this a little bit last week because we were kind of anticipating the return of Nico Collins last Sunday, because it just felt like when he came back to practice on Friday last week, why would he return to practice if he's not going to play on Sunday? It was even stranger. I thought that they were like, yeah, he's 100%. They just decided not to play him. I guess they just wanted to wait to be safe, which does make sense, logically. But how much does Nico Collins really fix all your problems? Does he fix some of them, most of them? Where are you guys at with Nico's return?
So I don't think he fixes your problems, but what he does is make the margin for error for your problems much higher, where, like, yes, he's not going to start at right guard or left guard. Like, that's not what he does. So he's not going to actually fix that problem. But what he does is he gives Stroud a deep option, B, an option that he trusts in scramble drill, which, if your offensive line is still going to struggle as much as it has as of late, you're going to be in scramble drill a lot. So I think that's really the most that you get out of Nico Collins is what he does down the field and off script, or when Stroud has to play off script.
Yeah. I mean, because to me the problem is still the offensive line, and Nico cannot fix that, and he never will be able to fix the offensive line. But I feel like that he's a good kind of like – What's the saying, like, fixing, like, he's a piece of tape? Like, he's able to kind of put things back together a little bit for Stroud. And I mean, he was 4-1. Stroud, the Texans were 4-1 with CJ.
He's Flex Seal.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Putting on the bottom of the screen door boat.
I think that he's going to make him coming back, I think, is going to make Stroud feel a little better about being in the pocket, because he does have that phenomenal weapon with Nico. So obviously it's a benefit for him coming back. But again, like I said, he can't fix that offensive line. So, but again, Dallas doesn't really—they don't really scare me with the defensive line like they have in years past. So, I think that they could win even without Nico this week.
Yeah, I think the benefit of Nico's return. I think what's most important to watch for is what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I think with Tank Dell was much improved, obviously, than what it was. You know, he just slow start to the year. I mean, like, he's coming off injury. He got shot this offseason. So, like, he did not start the season fast. But if that connection with Tank can kind of return to form, like we saw the last 2 weeks, now plus the return of Nico Collins, and if you can get just the run game going again after last week's debacle, we're just mixing at one point you had, like, 34 yards on 20 carries. Like, you just couldn't go anywhere. That's where, even with the offensive line's problems, things should be much better for this offense. I mean, the one thing that everyone's kind of bringing it up, like, I think it's like more like tongue-in-cheek about the running game last week, when how bad it was. Like, Kenyon Green, like, being out. But, like, there's no way a guy who's that bad at pass blocking is the only reason why your run game was also that good. Like, I just can't. I can't justify
that. Yeah, I don't think it's all that. I think we also are, or the people that are making that case, it's also kind of it's discrediting the Lions a little bit in that equation, where, well, the Lions are also, they also are playing a part in this.
Yes.
They're the best team that you've played all year. So you probably are going to struggle a little bit more running the ball. But, yeah, I think especially with, a lot of times it's Mixon kind of creating something, even with Kenyon Green in the lineup. It was Mixon forcing missed tackles, always falling forward, that kind of stuff, where when you're playing the Lions, like, a lot of times the first guy that gets to the ball carrier, he's bringing down the ball carrier. So, and that's what makes them a really good team. So I think I'm not quite ready to give Kenyon Green the credit as being the greatest run blocker of all time, who can single-handedly tank Joe Mixon's season when he leaves the game. So, I'm not quite there. I get what they're saying, because he is a better run blocker than he is a pass protector. Not hard to do. But,
yeah, low bar.
I don't know if he's quite, like, awesome at run. So awesome that he's the, like, Jenga piece that makes the tower fall down.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really just don't. Yeah, I can't believe that. So, I mean, look, they should run the ball better in this game. Dallas, they're an okay defense. I mean, Mike Zimmer really hasn't gotten them. I still can't believe, like, that's the hire they made for the Cowboys. Just such a strange decision for Mike McCarthy, like, knowing he's on the hot seat. He's like, yeah, Mike Zimmer is the guy I want to identify
give me
with.
Give Zimmer.
Yeah. Or maybe it was like, I know he's a worse head coach than me, so, like, they're not going to replace me midseason with Mike Zimmer. It would be, like, a very funny thought process of why that's the hire you make. The other big injury to keep an eye on, look, and this is, it popped up yesterday during 7-on-7 for the Cowboys. They've already come out and said they don't expect it to be an issue. Mike McCarthy did. But CeeDee Lamb did appear on the injury report. He is questionable for Monday Night Football. Obviously, if something like that were to happen, the expectations for this game grow even more for the Texans, of just, like, winning by 30 if CeeDee Lamb weren't out there. But just something to keep an eye on in this game. Is the line still 8? I think it is.
It's 7 on the ESPN bet sheet of paper in front of me. From yesterday afternoon, so it might have moved this week.
Do we see Dalton Schultz have his breakout game against the Cowboys?
I mean, the
revenge game.
I do think that's, like, the one player who, even when Nico got hurt, like last year when Tank got hurt, we saw that's when Schultz started playing his best football, and then that just really hasn't happened. And there was this weird, We don't need the audio for it, but like there was this clip from Thursday when CJ was talking, and he just like randomly brought up this like conversation that him and Dalton Schultz had about like the offense and just like what's been going on. So clearly like there's been some kind of disconnect with Schultz and CJ this year. It'd be nice if he did. Like, I don't know, maybe we do our prize picks underdogs of the day. Like, maybe we have to look at Dalton Schultz props. Oh, a little revenge game for Dalton Schultz.
I think there's a lot of excitement around the tight ends this year with Schultz and Stover, and they haven't been there. So it's just kind of like, when are we going to see them bust out? And so I would hope Dalton Schultz would do it this game, but I don't know.
Cade Stover has a little bit of Laramie Tunsilitis where a lot of times when I hear him having his name called on a Sunday, it's because he committed a false start or a hold on a run play.
Yeah.
I feel like he has an inordinate amount of like plays made versus penalties accounted for. I don't know if he's on the right side of that one.
Yeah, I know he seems like he's like a once or twice a game, definitely once a game every single week. Little dump off option
yeah.
for CJ.
Like in the flat, 3 yards.
Yeah. Like it seems like there's like a clear intent to like kind of get on the ball every game in some capacity, but not in a way that is like exciting.
Down the field.
down the field.
Well, he literally averages one catch a game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it one catch, 4 yards per game?
It's literally a catch a game for 9 yards.
Oh, nice.
Like, hey, yeah. I would have taken the under. If you would have said the number like 6.5. Like average, like receiving yards a game, I would take in the under.
How many of those yards were in the Patriots game?
Well, honestly, that
he only had like one play,
time,
right?
The average would be what y'all were thinking, except for he did have a 27-yard catch. So you take that away, and he's averaging that one per four.
Yeah, that's a funny one. Like that's always like with the draft stuff. Like when they took Stover, they're like, "Oh, CJ Stroud reunited with Cade Stover." I'm like, "Relax." Like
I honestly was a little bit. Like that. It was like, oh, there's gonna be a little connection there. And no. Stover was third or fourth.
I don't remember. But I mean he was look, this is a guy who still only played like 25 games in his career.
Oh, in college.
As a tight end, I think. If you
he started at D tackle. Or no, D end, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fourth round pick. So yeah, it's just not for the long term, I liked the pick, but when that's where just like you can tell people are always like gassing up Texans picks, like just like fans when it happens. Even though we all hated the Kamari Lassiter pick, and he's been good. That's mostly just because on this station, because Lance called him so slow. Well, and he had a slow 40 time, but you look at his numbers in college at Georgia, like he's locked down, and then isn't that his nickname, the Locksmith?
That's what he says.
Well, and people were like, "Oh no, that was Kalen." When they were like, "Oh, his legs are so thin. What is he going to do in the NFL?"
Yeah.
It is funny. The guys we have the most questions about, like they have an interception every week, and the guys that we threw a parade for, it's like, don't really love this.
Yeah, that's where number one offseason thing the Texans need to do is like Nick Casario needs to look in the mirror and be like, "Hey, I'm not great at evaluating the offensive line. I need to hire an assistant GM that's going to help me get offensive line.
I just need to hire Bill Callahan to stop working for his son and come over here and just point at good offensive line.
Yeah,
for
me. Like this guy good, this guy bad. Like I mean, honestly, I always thought like there was a chance they'd bring back or they should bring back Scarnecchia from the Patriots. Just like hire him as like a consultant.
Yeah, consultant.
Like, hey, we don't need you to coach the O-line. You're like 80 years old. Like, is this guy good?
Just like, do you see it? Yeah. With this guy?
Check boxes. Yes, no. Like a high school dating note you would pass to a girl.
Yeah.
Do you like me? Check yes or no. Like, that's what he needs to do for the
Bring
Texans.
Back Dwayne Brown as like a little offensive line consultant. Like, Gerard Johnson is with the quarterbacks.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to hit the brakes on this because what we're creating is the Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson.
Oh, hold up now.
Reggio. What is it? Skull and Crossbones. Consultant, that's running the Astros. Well, I think we did just bring it to the Texans for offensive line.
No, the Texans already had that with Jack Easterbrand. We don't need another one of those in our life. I'm dealing with that in Chicago right now, a person who's running an organization that has no business, and it's ruining my life. So
who is him?
There's this guy named Trace Armstrong.
Oh.
He played for the Bears. He was on the Super Bowl team. He's an agent. He has the ear of the owner.
That's not good.
This is who he represents.
DJ Moore?
No. Ryan Poles.
Oh.
Matt Eberflus. Shane Waldron.
Oh, my God.
So, like, there's this former Bears player who's a coach agent, and he's literally just like, hey, hire all my clients. It's going super well for them. Oh, well, it's going super duper well.
Who else is their ex-client?
Honestly, at this Johnson? Point, I don't think so. At this point, I'm just assuming, like, when we get to the offseason, I'm just going to, like, find, like, who's on his roster of coaches and be like, those are the Bears candidates.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my God, John Fox?
Wouldn't have shocked me if he was when he was the Bears coach. All right, when we get back, Matt Holland's going to join us at 10:45 today here from the Sportsbook. One of the assistant sportsbook managers kind of previewing what's going on in the NFL. We'll talk about those 49ers, that line there for them plus 1,000 to win the Super Bowl. But we'll kind of preview some of the best games going on this weekend. A lot of really good action. We'll do that next year at ESPN Bet on the Bullpen here, broadcasting live from inside LaBerge in Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bullpen, live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Back here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles, your go-to destination when you leave Texas to bet on your Texas teams. It's kind of nice to be able to, I'm not using it currently, but to be able to look at a gambling website and actually place wagers on it, since we're in Louisiana, Texas will never get its act together.
Yeah.
Didn't see that in the Astrodome proposal.
No?
No.
No, didn't see sports betting?
Remember, once upon a time, they talked about it. That was like an idea for the Astrodome. It was like turn it into a giant...
Casino.
But like, they have to legalize so much for that. They have to you can't even have like table games, I don't think, in Texas, so... Which is why... people come here or go to Oklahoma and things like that if you live in Dallas or whatever.
Or gas stations in the hood.
You know what? I don't understand that. How it's, like, not legal, but then, like, gas stations have slot machines. I don't understand.
That is a good point.
Like, I just don't understand, like, the legality of that. Like, how it's allowed.
You know what, Joe? Neither do I. Like, I don't understand the legality.
I just don't get it. Like, it's like, why can't I have a casino if, like, in gas stations there's...
Yep.
And, like, you see... And it's not like they're hiding it.
Nope. They're, like, right up front by the window.
In the window.
Yeah, like, they're not, like, hiding it from, like, the cops and be, like, some, like, backdoor operation. Like, no, they're just, like, they're right there. Those are the people that I have the most also questions about in my life. Like, you go into, a gas station, there's just some, like, old lady just, like,
sitting there
at a slot machine at a gas station. Like, what do you, like...
That should just be the commercial for gambling addiction.
Yes.
That's
like what I want. Like,
a 30-second commercial of just her hitting that button.
Yeah, like when everyone does like gambling problem and then they throw the number out, just show an old lady at a gas station, like a slot machine, and like that's like the definition of it. All right, so looking at the games this weekend. Big one, obviously, here at noon, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. Baltimore is a 3-point favorite in this one, -120 on that. Pittsburgh's +3, even money on that. This is obviously one of the more intriguing games, I would say, just because, like we talk about, like what Cam was saying earlier, like Lamar Jackson's playoff success. Part of it is also his failures and his lack of successes against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not been very good at them in his career. And like before the playoffs get here, when I think about the Ravens as Super Bowl contenders, I actually think that's why like this game does matter for me in terms of just like Baltimore long term. If they win this game handily, it kind of proves to me that like they're figuring something out. So I took Baltimore. I think when we did our pick six, Sean.
I took Pittsburgh.
You took Pittsburgh, so we're against each other. I need to see how we
grudge
did
man
yesterday.
I won the Texas game.
I know you won the Texas game. I did not win the Texas game.
The only one I know. Oh, wait. We did the Georgia-Tennessee. I think we all picked Tennessee.
So we all lost?
Yes. That sounds right.
Yep, we all lost. So I'm 0-2 to start the week in our pick six. Not a hot start.
Still 4 games left.
Still 4 games left. But I do think Baltimore's going to win this game just because of what Derrick Henry's brought to them. I mean, he's got a rushing touchdown every single game this season. He has just been an incredible signing. Like he and Joe Mixon and Saquon Barkley, and I think in a little bit to DeAndre Swift at times as well, has kind of shown like this last offseason that the running back is valuable. especially like I saw the one tweet that went super viral was like this shows like you should pay a running back instead of a third wide receiver.
Yeah.
On a team. Like,
yeah, that now got, you know, like Saquon Barkley gets like third wide receiver money. And yeah, it's like maybe you should just sign the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
Instead of Chris Boyd, or not Chris Boyd, Tyler Boyd.
Oh, yeah, Tyler Boyd, yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's what the Titans did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Honestly, I mean, but it's funny then, because like Tony Pollard's been like pretty solid for them, too.
I was going
like,
to say, who's been better, Tony Pollard or Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, so like they could have spent that money elsewhere then, actually. But like, yeah, and well, because they didn't really have to pay Tony Pollard. Like, he was the cheapest of all of them.
It just makes it more hilarious that Dallas did not go after Derek, and then that Jerry Jones quote where he was like, oh, with our finances and stuff, it wouldn't be a good fit, really? Because Baltimore got him for what? $8 million or something like that?
he talks about Derrick Henry like Derrick Henry got a $20 million a year contract.
Yeah.
Like they talk about Derrick Henry like he is the most expensive player in the NFL to justify not signing him. It's
so they can trot out Rico Dowdle and Zeke Elliott, the fossil Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, like who got suspended from a game because he didn't show up to practice or whatever. Like,
hey, that happens.
At like 30 years old. Hey. Grow up, dude.
Yeah, he's still learning.
Yeah, I love how this week,
talking about practice.
I think Shefty tweeted official Rico Dowdle, number one running back exclusively in Dallas. I'm like, who cares?
Such a bad thing.
Yeah, like
I bet you're reporting as good news.
When three games in the season, we're all they're taking Ashton Jeanty in the first round, and they should have signed Derrick Henry. Like the offseason moves you made are very bad.
Yes. The fact that you're going to be available to pick Ashton Jeanty, you're going to be high enough.
Yeah.
We're not asking, well, maybe someone picks him. Nope, no one's going to be ahead of you. Or no one's going to pick him ahead of you.
Like. Yeah, and then the other thing with the game today is, and it's just an inherent bias that last year's part of it, the end of Seattle. I still don't believe in Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, I just...
I think that's fair. I think it's fair not to be all aboard the Russ hype train. But I he has played well, and part of the reason I did take the Steelers, not just at home and Tomlin magic and their underdogs, but it's also that Ravens pass defense that we saw under the bright lights against Cincinnati, where that, to me, that is more of a question mark about their long-term future than Lamar Jackson is, or their long-term, in the playoffs future than Lamar Jackson's, because any good quarterback should light that Ravens defense on fire.
Yeah.
And so if that's what you're walking into a game with, and if Russell Wilson has played the way he has so far, he should be able to move the ball and throw, especially deep down the field, because that's what the Ravens struggle with, and that's what Russell Wilson is good at. So I expect him and Pickens to have a big game.
Other good game this weekend, obviously, Sunday Night Football. Chiefs-Bills is a very good one. 325 Chiefs-Bills. Chiefs are favored by 2 in this one. This is another one where it's like what we just talked about with Lamar Jackson stuff. But Buffalo actually has success against Kansas City.
Yeah, they just lose
in the regular
season. More heartbreaking ways.
Yeah, in the postseason.
the Ravens, they show up and they look awful against the Chiefs in the playoffs. The Bills look awesome against them and still just lose every time.
Yeah, I think it's Patrick Mahomes. He's plus two. It's even though it's that's such a small margin.
Yeah.
It's just take the money line, which essentially is they're plus 108 on the money line. So it's if I was going to bet this game, I would just money line this thing, because you're basically saying Buffalo's going to win by one if you're picking them to cover the spread. That's such a small margin, obviously. Yeah. It just seems crazy to do that. But a smaller one is Sunday Night Football. Cam?
Ayo.
Your Chargers.
That's right.
1-point favorites against the Bengals.
Playoff implications on the line.
Yeah, it does
and
look
for,
that way.
And for them, too.
7-3 if we get this one.
How do you feel about the Harbaugh life so far?
It's amazing. But as great as I feel about Harbaugh, I'm more excited about the Mentor hiring. Because the fact that... I think there's something out there that's... No, I think they already did it. The Chargers are the first team in the last 30 years to allow less than 13 points or 13 and below points in their first 8 or 9 games of the season, which is crazy because you would think that with their struggles early on in the year to kind of move the ball. I know that J.K. was able to run it the first couple of games, but Herbert obviously wasn't throwing it all over the field. So you'd think that teams would be able to put up points on them, and they still haven't. So,
dude, I didn't realize that they haven't given up. The most points they've given up in a game this season is 17 points.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like to be at this point in the season still and have that low of a number your entire – to not have a two –
yeah,
in front of a score for your opponent. That's
three touchdowns.
That goes to like showing how much Harbaugh can turn teams around, because the prior 3 years with Staley, and Staley was supposed to be a defensive guru, Chargers defense was always ranked 27th or last. And now Harbaugh comes in his first year, and the Chargers are by far the number one like defense. So
yeah,
that Harbaugh hire was – oof, man, that was a good one.
It really shows. It's a little bit. It's different, but it's a little bit like going from Steven Silas to Ime Udoka for the Rockets.
Yeah,
you just see like, oh, this is what like a competent coach can do for a team. Like when your coach is no longer an active hindrance on your players' development,
especially after you lose arguably your top three offensive weapons and your best receiver is LaDede McConkey, like it's all coaching.
Quinn Johnson's been all right,
dude.
All right?
That's like the surprise of the season right now, is that he's not a full bust.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh should win
QJ
QJ hasn't been cut.
When you know how much I was trashing QJ last year in the start of this year,
vicious.
it was vicious.
All right, before we take a break here, I'm just going to drop this on you guys, just as a little, because we talked about the disaster for Netflix on Friday night, all the buffering issues. Maybe it won't be as much of an issue for the NFL. So last year, on ESPN and Fox, the Christmas Day games got 29 million views and 27.1 million views.
God.
How many people do you think watched Tyson Paul?
I'm guessing more.
Way more.
Okay. More.
46 million.
65 million people.
65 million
people
watched Tyson Paul. I can only... 65 million people watched that disaster. God.
But the thing is it might even be more, because with Netflix not being able to like share your accounts anymore, like are they just tracking like household, like
they're probably just like one at a time, because like, you have like two places, right? Kind of like
I think two places.
So like, but it's not like how it used to be where Netflix you could have it in
like seven.
Like seven.
Yeah, but it's like if awesome. Like so like the bar I was at, there was like 10 screens with Netflix on, but there was like 80 people in there. So, like, are they just counting?
Well, no, bars by seat.
Yeah.
Okay, so
they basically,
okay.
like, divide it.
Yeah.
I got you.
So that's bars and home. Like, that's crazy. That's double what the NFL was doing. All right, we'll take a time out here. Matt Holland will join us next here from the Sportsbook, one of the managers. We'll take a look at some of the action today in the NFL, and we'll kind of bring up that that Super Bowl odds there for the 49ers. Get his thoughts on that next year. It is the Bullpen Broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge and Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. The Bullpen live from LaBerge Casino Resort continues. Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios with Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Bullpen Broadcasting live from inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Joe George, Sean Mapes here with you, and joined now by Matt Holland, one of the sportsbook managers here inside ESPN Bet. What's up, man? How you doing?
Another beautiful Sunday.
We'll start with your Bengals tonight.
Do we have to?
I mean, I feel like you're still in a good spot.
I'm glad somebody does.
Yeah, the offense is really good.
They are.
They really are.
It's just whenever somebody decides to throw the ball against us, we have nothing.
Yeah,
I think that we spent every last little bit of energy that we had trying to win that Chiefs game and making like Mahomes look human, and then we just it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah, and then you lose by a point to the Ravens, and
I got to bring that up. I mean, we had such a good pre-conversation,
okay.
Now you're just bringing up all pain.
Let me make it better. One of my favorite players in the NFL right now is your new running back. I love Chase Brown.
He's good.
I loved him at Illinois. Like, he was a fun player to watch. And like,
so let's have a conundrum, since this is ESPN Radio Houston. Who would you rather have, him or Joe Mixon?
Financially, Chase Brown.
Financially, but for performance-wise, man, Mixon's been good, and I miss him so much.
Mixon's been awesome. So good, but like Chase Brown's really good out of the backfield catching the ball. So like, and Mixon, I guess they just don't use him that way. And I know Cincinnati didn't really use him either that way. But, yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Mixon right now. For the long term, I think the Bengals made the right decision. But
yeah, absolutely.
It's funny, we mentioned it there at the end of the last segment, like kind of like just like the running back resurgence that's happening in the NFL. Like you're seeing Henry, Mixon, Barkley, Pollard, Swift.
Cook.
Like they're all having like good years for their new teams. And then like just kind of like the running backs back in a way.
If you've watched the NFL long enough, everything is cyclical. And eventually the running backs become devalued, contracts go down. I heard y'all talk about the Derrick Henry contract and everything else earlier. Well, and the other thing is, like, it was frowned upon to take a running back at a high value in the draft.
Yeah.
Everybody was, like, second-day backs and everything else like that. Gentry from Boise State, he's should be a priority for some team because of the way that offense is being run right now. And I'm just kind of – I'm always interested to see the ebbs and flows of how players are valued. Because right now, wide receivers, they're all securing massive paychecks. Who is going to be that running back that's, like, holds out or whatever and says, hey, I'm valuable?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it probably would have been Saquon Barkley.
And
he didn't even get that great of a deal. And, like,
he really didn't.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this year, like, with, like, the running backs kind of coming back, have you noticed any trends, like, season-long with, like, over-unders? Because I don't know if it's hitting, like, we're seeing more unders this year because teams are running the ball a little bit more. It's kind of balanced out a little bit.
I mean, I think the books always make it balanced. What I've noticed is a better upkick and trend of Derrick Henry with a team to win. Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown with a team to win. They're using those pieces as parlay juicers and stuff like that to where, hey, that team might be minus 300 on the money line, but if I do it with Derrick Henry, then I'm getting, you know, my. And they're just trying to figure out ways to sneak them into parlays to try and boost their payouts.
That makes sense. Yeah, because, I mean, Derrick Henry scored a touchdown every single week this week. So, like, if you do that every week, like, you're getting half your parlay right
now.
Yeah,
you're one leg down.
You're one leg down every single game.
100%.
What's the game you're most excited for this weekend? Because there's a lot of good matchups. Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, like, I know those are the ones that are probably the best games, but is there anything else on the board that just, like, popped out to you when you were looking at it?
So when I was making my picks for today, I normally stay away from, like, the marquee matchups in division rivalries. As a Bengals fan, I hate watching the Ravens Steelers. I wish they both could lose, but they're not going to. If a tie would be just fantastic. But Chiefs-Bills is another one. I heard y'all saying earlier how close they play each other. So from a betting perspective, I just don't see much use in betting on that game. Other than that, it's not the best slate in the world. I ended up taking a lot on Detroit just because I don't think it's the best matchup, but from a betting perspective, you have a backup quarterback, you have Peterson probably on its way out, and the Lions playing a pretty bad game last week. I just think it's a good bounce-back situation. Beyond that, I actually kind of think the Packers-Bears might be something to watch.
Which side?
I'm more interested to see what the Bears do because they have this – now they're having this conversation around the organization of, like, what are we doing with Caleb Williams? Is it the head coach's fault? Is he underdeveloped? And all these rumblings from, you know, where before the Hail Mary, it was all praise, like, hey, look at this development and things like that. And I think that this can be either a season saver if they keep it close with the Packers, or if they get blown out, then you're just going to see a complete organizational overhaul. I think at least.
I kind of hope they lose. I don't want Matt.
I've been in your spot. I'm kind of there right now.
Matt Eberflus should have been fired in the offseason.
Probably, yes.
This is now the third time since 2017, which they're going to do the same thing. They did this with John Fox. They drafted Mitch Trubisky without telling John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then year one of John Fox and Trubisky, they fired him. They did the same thing with Nagy. They let Nagy draft Fields, and then Nagy and Fields were together for a year. They fired him, and they're going to do the same thing with Eberflus. Like, it's a bad organization, and like they keep doing it. You want Zach Taylor fired? Is that the sense we're getting there?
I'm so upset. It's been a reoccurring theme over the past 3 years. Now, granted, we have a Super Bowl run. We have an AFC Championship run. But we can't keep starting the season behind the eight ball by losing to the Patriots on opening day. You know, whenever you're starting the season 1-4, 1-3 consistently, and you're just constantly trying to claw your way out of it, it just bodes like something is not happening in the off season to get these guys prepared. And then eventually it's like, well, Joe Burrow's played himself into shape. I don't think that's necessarily his doing. I think it's more, hey, we're in a rhythm. Let me call the plays. Let me make the decisions. And that's what works out best. And if you have a quarterback like Burrow, that's fine. But still, you need guidance. And that's kind of like I'm jealous of the Chargers. Like, now Herbert has guidance with Harbaugh. Like, that was the best off-season acquisition besides Derrick Henry to Baltimore, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's just there's levels to it. So my thing is, like, I'm already looking at the off-season coaching candidates. I'm not saying they're going to fire Zach Taylor, but I'm looking at the options that are out there and who would want to take this to the next level.
Yeah, in both situations with your favorite teams, and my favorite team too, the Texans, they fall victim to this too, but it's the idea of getting it wrong the same way
time
and time again speaks to a level the Bears is total incompetence.
Yeah, total.
But it's a lack of, like, those are the winning margins. Those are the margins that's why the Chiefs can, play disappointingly every single week and win every single game.
Yeah.
Is because they get the stuff right on the margins.
Yeah.
Where the other 31 teams, for the most part, don't do that.
They make mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, you win a game last week because you block a surefire field goal, okay? And everybody sees Patrick Mahomes and all the glory of Andy Reid. They're winning because of defense this year.
And they
know what they're good at. And they're just good at it. And they continue to be good at it.
It's competence.
Yes, exactly.
Just being very competent. Jim Harbaugh, too. Just being very competent. Every week, the other team is probably going to be less competent than you.
They are going to make mistakes, as a Bengals fan, I look at Harbaugh and I get jealous. But also, you look at ownership and who they're willing to pay. I mean, Burrow broke the record. The quarterback market resets after him. Everybody gets paid more. But now you have the Jamar Chase situation that's lingering in the background.
Yeah.
You could have gotten the Jamar Chase situation taken care of. He's putting up the numbers that he is. Now it's kind of like, well, you're going to have to pay him. But what happened? You know, our secondary gets torched every single week. You got to learn how to prioritize a little bit. And I still feel like our organization, our franchise, we haven't figured out like that recipe for success.
I feel like you're with me. Like, my dream right now for the Bears, and if I was the Bengals fan, I'd be feeling the same way. Like a Ben Johnson, Robert Saleh combo. Would be like head coach and Saleh as the DC. Texans, Monday Night Football. They're 7-point favorites. I think it opened to 8, so it's moved just like a little bit. But Nico Collins is back. CeeDee Lamb's on the injury report, but they said he's going to play. They're not.
Give me the Texans. I'm taking the Texans minus 7. That Cowboys organization just needs a full-on nuke. The good thing is that we don't have to worry about the sunlight, you know, coming in on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Daylight saving.
We need, good. You know, they'll find another excuse for why they lost this game.
What do you, how low have these, like, second half totals been for the Texans? Have you, because like, they haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in, like, 3-4 weeks.
Well, here's the funny thing is, most of those bets get done on the kiosk, so I really haven't had to look at those numbers. But the other night I was watching and I was just like, "Woof, that's not promising."
It's so bad.
Yeah,
they have 84 points in the season in the second half, and 27 of those came against the Patriots.
Yeah,
it was so bad.
That team hasn't been healthy though,
and
I think that this is kind of what I said about the Lions earlier against the Jaguars. I feel like now that you got Nico back, and I think that this is going to be, hey, let's open up the playbook. Let's get back into a rhythm. We have a very few amount of weeks to get back in, you know, back into the swing of things before the playoffs. Let's get these reps in. And I hate to say this to Cowboy fans, but it's almost like a practice squad you're playing against. So use this opportunity to try and, you know, develop some things.
We were talking about this last thing here before we let you go. We were talking about Super Bowl odds, just kind of seeing where they're at right now. 49ers, before there's like a big jump into the 2000s, but 49ers are 6th right now at plus 1,000. Is that protection in case McCaffrey really takes off? Because it feels like in terms of Chiefs, Lions, Ravens, Bills, Eagles, 49ers, they're kind of the team that doesn't belong, but then there's just such a big jump between them to plus 1,000 to the Packers at plus 2,200.
So I think the thing about the 49ers is that nobody's ran away from that division. In a playoffs, there's going to be one playoff team that comes from there. I personally think there's going to be two. But what matters most is getting into the tournament. And the 49ers had such bad injury luck at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's starting to correct themselves. There's always the nominee for team from hell. And I thought the 49ers were due for it. They're starting to get healthy. Arizona was not able to put the division away. I think that they are a second playoff team from that division. The Rams, for whatever reason, you know, haven't figured anything out.
Yeah.
And then the Seahawks may be regressing. So it's a whole bunch of middling teams. And I think getting into the tournament matters. And I think that the 49ers, if they win the division, just lock up a playoff spot, nobody's going to want to play them. They have the experience. It's kind of like playing the Chiefs. You put them in that spot, and it's like, okay, Shanahan's – he's been through this before.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like a scenario where it's like the Eagles are the 2 seed, but 49ers are the 7 seed, and just like taking out the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs, like
and taking out Sirianni and everything else that goes along with it. There's going to be a team that's going to be just shaking their head in the NFC playoffs. That's just like I really have to play them after going 11 and 6, like, you know, 12 and 5, whatever.
All right, we'll take a break here. Matt, before we go, I just want to say thank you. I'm sure we'll be doing these again next year, but I think this is our last one on the books for 2024. So thank you guys for everything you've done for
us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate having you.
We love being here.
Y'all are awesome. Y'all are professional, courteous, all that good stuff. We hope to have you back. And if you ever need something, you always feel free to reach out.
All right, here's Matt Holland. When you leave Texas betting your Texas teams, make sure you do it here at ESPN Bet inside LaBerge Lake Charles. It is the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.